welcome in once again to a social distancing episode of the Bama Baseline podcast. We're here in separate locations, but together, recording on a Zoom call for the first time. None of us have ever tried this before, but we're going to make it happen here for you guys as we wrap up the season. Came to a bit of a screeching halt. We'll get into that. We'll talk about COVID-19, everything it's done across not only college basketball, but all of the sports world. We're going to talk about the managers making it to the Final Four in Indianapolis. Big news. We want to touch on that for sure. And then Josh Primo committing to Alabama. Guys, a little bit of a blessing in disguise that we weren't able to record last week. There's so much new info that we can cover this week. Transfer targets, Primo, the managers, all kinds of stuff. But I'll welcome you guys to the show and ask, what have you been doing as we're quarantining here?
Oh, you know, me, I just been chilling at home. I went up to Huntsville for a couple of days, got to spend time with the family, enjoying the extended spring break, haven't done any schoolwork yet. But, you know, we're about to start here soon, you know, make things happen, make dreams come true.
Yeah, guys, I'm at home currently right now on my back porch, which is the quietest place in my house to record right now. But I've honestly, national or worldwide pandemic aside, I've enjoyed this. It's been like a little vacation. I've never played so much golf in my entire life in such a short span. I mean, I think this is like day 15, I believe it is. And I've played like 11 rounds of golf. I'm going at it, guys.
Hey, Luke, I'm going to come back a whole new man.
I'm telling you, I've got a nice tan going. Yeah, I'm looking good. I'm looking good. I'm enjoying it. Like apart from, you know, the disease and the virus, I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time, making the most of it.
Yeah, it's been kind of a weird situation. As you guys know, we all revolve, our worlds revolve around sports. We talk about sports. We watch sports. That's what we do. And now all of a sudden, we've got all this free time, no sports going on. You can rewatch stuff if you're into that. You can keep track of NFL free agency, the transfer market for college basketball, all kinds of stuff that is going on, but no game action since we last spoke. And some people thought it might have been a little premature. We eulogized the season, but it turned out we were right on track last episode. That was our last game. We properly timed our eulogy. Maybe the only podcast in the country that properly timed our end of season episode.
Wow. You know, James, I'm not going to brag on us here at the Bama Baseline podcast, but we sort of have a view into the future at things that happen. Yes. And we looked at all the projections and stuff, and we just we sort of knew what was going to happen beforehand, and we went ahead and just took care and eulogized the whole season. In the last episode.
Yeah. In order to be the best podcast, you just have to stay ahead of the other podcast. So.
Yeah, and I'd like to, not to toot my own horn or anything here, but when I called this the worst season of college basketball ever, I think I was ahead of the curve on that. I think I pretty much nailed it down. I said it was going to cost millions when all these players went overseas, when all these players dropped out, but little did I know they would make zero money off of March Madness. But yeah, it's been a crazy couple of weeks all over the place. But Trevin, I do want to revisit our bet here. You gambled a steak dinner.
Yes.
On South Carolina winning the SEC tournament. Now I know.
Is that push?
No one won that bet. So no one has to buy the steak dinner.
Here's my case. Kentucky has been named the SEC champion, have they not?
Hold on. But did they win the tournament? That was the bet. You got to look at the fine writing here, okay? The bet was Kentucky would win the SEC tournament. Kentucky already won the regular season. We already know these things, okay? But the bet was the SEC tournament. And therefore, since the tournament did not conclude and we did not have a defending champion, the bet was a wash. No one knows anything.
If I remember correctly, Trevin, the bet was South Carolina would not win the SEC tournament. Not Kentucky would win, but it's not a wash, Trev. We still got next year. This everything, of course, pushes to next year. And, you know, that steak dinner's still up for grabs.
You know what? You're right. We can revisit this next year. I'll have a new team. Y'all will still have Kentucky. And we can work from there.
You give me Kentucky's recruiting class. You still give me Kentucky. I'll take it right now.
Yeah, go ahead. You guys can keep having Kentucky. I'll just pick a new team every year. And we'll just keep the bet going.
All right. But I do want to ask you guys' opinion. Without any basketball going on, without March Madness, what have you been occupied by? Are you keeping track of these Twitter polls? Are you re-watching games? What are you doing during this time that you would have been watching basketball?
All right, so right now I've actually been really consumed with the manager games. I'm not even going to lie. Like, for the past 3 weeks, I've been following it like a T, just keeping up with the voting count, keeping up with people refollowing, like, hey, go vote for those guys. Been surprisingly watching the transfer portals and all the new commits that are coming in. Frankly, I think we have to change up our national anthem and start having O Canada being sang as well. You know, after our national anthem, put a new Canadian flag up in the rafters just so that way they can all feel at home, you know? And just, you know, just keeping track of everything going on, NFL free agency, which I never cared about before, became the most important thing for 3 weeks. So we'll see, you know, just filling it with many different things.
Yeah, Trevin, you spoke on it there. We'll speak about later in the show ties to Canada as it relates to Alabama in the basketball sense. But you spoke about just now. I have been completely consumed by the manager games, the manager polls. For those who don't know, each basketball team in college basketball has a set group of managers, and they play each other throughout the year. And there's an actual metric, an actual group of people who keep up with this and give out rankings and make their own metrics, the KPI for one. And at the end of the year, they usually have a tournament. But since they don't have a tournament this year because it's been canceled due to coronavirus, they've duked it out on the Twitter polls. James, why don't you let us know? Why don't you let the people know what happened last night?
Last night, it got a little crazy between Alabama Twitter and Michigan Twitter, not two groups that you often see interact since the Najee Harris debacle a few years back. But things got a little hairy. Michigan fans going hard after Alabama fans on Twitter after a spike in voting for the Alabama managers during the Elite Eight portion of the bracket. And as we well know by now, the Final Four get an invite to next year's Final Four in Indianapolis where they will play. So it's a lot on the line in this Elite Eight matchup. This is for everything. This is for a chance to actually play basketball next season in a tournament style on a big stage in Indianapolis. But spike in voting, I believe it was 6,000 votes in a matter of less than an hour. And Alabama ends up pulling it out. They get the advantage and take themselves to Indianapolis.
Yeah, you know, and the Tide fans really waited until the last minute to cast their votes for Alabama managers. And you spoke on it, 6,000 votes an hour. You know, there was a big final push there going up to the wire last night. And Alabama, of course, duked it out with Michigan on a poll, of course, on Twitter. And they're going to the Final Four. They're going to the Final Four next year. It's going to be real fun to watch. Well-earned, real nice, honest win for the Alabama managers.
Yep, and controversy at the end, but they pulled it out. There was actually a counter-controversy report surfacing that Michigan fans on Twitter had been reaching out to Auburn fans on Twitter trying to get some type of revenge, all kinds of stuff going on. It got crazy last night. If you weren't checking out Twitter, you might want to go back through your feed and see what all was going on. But there was another Twitter beef, Luke, that you were a big part of. And I want to go ahead and touch on that here. Between us and our number one basketball rival,
the Creighton Blue Jays.
Yeah, there's always been a big beef between Alabama and our number one basketball rival, the Creighton Blue Jays. Alabama, of course, this past week, landed 6'6" guard from Canada, Josh Primo, 5-star player who reclassified to this year.
He's the Primo guard.
Yeah, he decided to come play for Nate Oates here at the university. over the Creighton Blue Jays. And it seemed like many Creighton fans, this has been a long-heated rivalry for a long time. It seemed like many Creighton fans didn't take kindly to that. And a lot of people online let it know. But, I mean, he made a smart choice. You know, he'd rather play it for Nate Oates in the good system than be in the middle of nowhere, Nebraska, and not really anybody there, not really nothing to do. Really rather come to a fun town, as we've seen some of our basketball players lately take advantage of that. And, you know, just play for Coach Oates and play in that system. And it's a huge pickup. If I'm not mistaken, one mock draft for next year's NBA draft had him ranked at number 17, taking number 17 overall. So it's a huge get. Huge get. Five-star guard. He's gonna be huge. And it's from Canada, Josh, of course. Y'all know how much I love that Canada.
Yeah, Josh Primo is an excellent prospect. Of course, we also have Keon Ambrose-Hilton, another Canadian committed to Alabama. So we'll have two Canadians on the roster. Guys, I pulled this stat up. I was looking through the archives of Alabama athletics, and 2 years ago, there was one Canadian-born athlete in the entire realm of Alabama athletics. On all of the teams combined, we had one. This year, we had 10, and we've got two more committed to play basketball next year. We've really become a Canadian university, in my opinion. It's been really interesting to see this boost since Avery Johnson took his team up to Canada. I don't know how much that played into each individual player's recruitment, but it definitely created ties in Canada, and we're now reaping the benefits from that.
You know, I'm not going to be upset if we have a Canadian pipeline coming down from the good old North. You know, they're starting to actually ramp up their basketball in terms of high school production and how well they're doing there. A lot of their players are coming out a lot, you know, NBA ready in terms of that sense. You know, Canada's not the same as it used to be, say, 10 years ago when you were like, oh, you're Canadian? Well, obviously, we got a lot of work to do. You know, now it's just kind of like, all right, they're ready to go. They're ready to play, and they're playing like USA level competition up in Canada. So, you know, I'm not mad about the pipeline. Keep it coming. Keep the oil flowing. Let's just keep getting Canadians. You know, if they like the red and white, what can I say? You know, just come on to Alabama.
You know, and I've always been a big truther, guys. I'm sorry, James. So I've always been a big truther about the Canada to Alabama pipeline and recruiting. And I'm glad to see that. After years of, you know, being reluctant in recruiting Canadians across all sports at the university, Coach Oates, you look at baseball, Coach Brad Bohannon, Dana Duckworth, they're really, you know, now taking advantage of these this Canadian pipeline to Alabama that I've been a big believer in from day one.
Yeah, and we want to talk now as we move forward here. We've talked a little recruiting. We've talked about different things going on in the sports world, but let's get into this roster, transfer targets that could come in. We'll talk about these players who are now in the draft process. We have Kyra Lewis, John Petty, and Herb Jones. We'll start with these guys, these three here, and I want to get you guys' thoughts. Who's staying in the draft? Who's coming back to school after this process concludes?
Yeah, you know, James, before we get into this, I just want to apologize to our listeners because we do a show that's very intimate and relies a lot on eye contact and movement throughout the studio and stuff like that. And I know it's with this COVID-19 going around, this worldwide pandemic, it's hard to do shows, but we ask that you just stay and listen to us because I know right now, and it's me because I've heard, I'm sure it's going to show up in the audio, there's log trucks driving by and there's the dulcet sounds of a dog barking and the lawnmower running here in rural Waitsburg, North Carolina right now. So thank you to the listeners for sticking by us. But
the Capstone 90.7 FM WVUA.
Anyways, James, you were talking about transfer players. I'm looking, you know, Alabama, of course, has their hand in the market for transfer big men, transfer forwards and centers throughout the country. And one person I'm really looking at is Adrian Bruner from Yale. I think he fit in real nice here at the university. I hope Coach Oates and Brian Hodge and, of course, the whole staff are really looking into that and trying as hard as they can to get him to come to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, he's a big target for sure. You've also got a couple of other guys, some guards that they've looked at bringing in, maybe even a couple of guys who might have to sit a year and they can just bring into the back end of that roster. Of course, we expect there to be some type of roster movement, maybe some more additions to the transfer portal. Raymond Hawkins already in the portal. We'll see what happens over these next few weeks, these next few months. Obviously, the coronavirus has not only affected the games that are being played, but the way that this transfer market's going to have to work, the way that they're able to process all of this. We've seen it specifically in the NFL free agency. Everything has to change about the way that they're going about business. Coach Oates said on a teleconference he would normally be traveling all over the country right now, but instead he's stuck at his house. He's having to make phone calls, maybe Zoom interviews, who knows what he's doing, to talk to these different recruits, these different people that he's got to be in constant contact with. So it will be interesting to see. We also are kind of waiting on one more recruit outside of the transfer market, but he still hasn't decided. Is he going to reclassify? Is he going to stay in the 2021 class? That's Frank Onsalam. Not a lot of clarity there on what he's doing yet, but Alabama has been recruiting him. So we're yet to see what's going to happen there. But what we do know is Kyra Lewis has entered the draft market. John Petty entered the draft market. Herb Jones now has entered the draft market. Trevin, I'll ask you first. I know you're high on Herb Jones especially, but who stays in the draft process and who comes back for another year of basketball at Alabama?
So I think what's going to happen here is just looking at a couple of mock drafts in this time of coronavirus, I've been paying attention to them. I think that Kyra Lewis is definitely gone, RIP. You know, I think he's definitely going to end up with a first round grade. I think he's going to end up somewhere late in the first round. In terms of what a team will pick. And I think that's the best for him, because if you go early in the first round, I usually say that's not a good thing for most players, because the reason that a team is usually in the first round is because they're not good, and usually because they don't have good management, good players and things of that nature. So it can really devalue who you are. So like I was watching the Christian Laettner thing, best player in college basketball, went to the Timberwolves, dysfunction, bad team members, organization, he goes into oblivion in the NBA, right? And so, you know, I think that that's good for Kyra Lewis to go late in the first round. Also, looking at a couple mock drafts, John Petty is scheduled right now to be in the second round to be a steal for the Golden State Warriors. If I was Petty, I would want to definitely try and see as much as he can without losing his eligibility, try and gauge to see where that market is, because John Petty on the Warriors, that's a perfect fit, okay? That is as perfect as you could possibly get. So I would try and gauge that market to see, is this a real thing? Is this fake? If they're pretending with me, is this an actual thing that can happen? So try and gauge that. If you don't think that you'll end up with the Warriors, or say with a team that has a very high probability to shoot threes, because John Petty would be a great 3-and-D guy in the league. So kind of just try and gauge, like, all right, so is this team really geared towards – shooting 3-and-D guys in the range that they're projecting me for? Just try and make that decision. And if not, then just come back next year. I think if he comes back next year, his grade will only go up. I think Herb Jones, he's going to test the process. I think, is this the first time he's testing the process? Overall, yeah. I believe so. Yeah. I think that's good for him. I think he's good to test the process. I don't think that any team's going to be really looking at him right now just because of the range and the arm injury that he sustained. You know, they're going to look at him and it's like, all right, you're easily one of the best defensive guys in the country. But, you know, the way the game is geared right now, we really need – if you're going to be great on defense, you have to at least give us something on offense. And we need consistency there. And so if you're going to be the next Draymond Green, we need those 8 points. We got to make sure that you can score those 8 points. And so with that being said, I think Herb is going to come back next year. That would be my guess. I think Herb's going to try one more time. Come back next year. I think in Nate Oates' system, fully healed, ready to go, I think he's going to be kind of what LeBron is in terms of, you know, the big guy who can pass the ball, but he can shoot better than Ben Simmons, you know. So, you know, just making the right reads and doing all the right things, I think that's kind of what his role is going to be. And then also being that main defensive anchor as well and allowing Primo and everybody to get those shots off Quinterly to kind of spread the floor and get him those driving lanes that he needs to get to. And so I'm real excited for that. I think Herb comes back. I think Petty is the only one where I'm like 50-50 on if he'll come back, and I think Kyra's gone.
I'm sort of going to echo your statement here. First off, Trevin, that was just real in-depth analysis there.
This is the best we've gotten out of his last episode of the Bama Baseline podcast. He's giving us some real content here.
Thank you. Got to go out with a bang, guys.
Yeah, I mean, Trevin, this show for you is like, you know, the fireworks finale where you know it's going to happen. But you're still set aback from it. But no, Trevin, I'm going to echo your statement here. I think the only one that's for sure out of the three Alabama players who have put their name in for the NBA draft, I think the only one that's for sure is going to come back is Herbert Jones, because he's obviously got the NBA build, in my opinion, the modern NBA build. As a player, he's one of the top five defensive players in the country. He's going to get feedback and come back for sure. Absolutely. Stuff he needs to work on this coming season, he'll come back. John Petty, I'm 50-50 on because, you know, I've always said if John Petty gets one person to tell him that he's going in the first round, if he's the 30th pick, just one person to tell him that he's going in the first round, he's gone. Kyra Lewis, in my opinion, he was gone before the season starts, and rightfully so, because
he deserves it.
The ceiling is just so high for him.
Yeah,
and
I think
another player that fits very well in the modern NBA. And, you know, bravo for him, all his accomplishments at the university over 2 years. Second fastest player at the University of Alabama to reach 1,000 points. Bravo to him for endeavoring for his future. Bravo to all three of these guys. But Kyra, in my opinion, for sure gone. 50-50 on John Petty, and Herbert Jones will be back. And better than ever next year.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much unanimous here then. I think that's about what I expect. Maybe I'd lean 60-40 on Petty coming back, but that's not a major difference there. Just based off of the feedback I think he's going to get. Like you said, Trevin, if he gets a promise from the Warriors to take him, you gotta go and take that offer. The system fit there is a good one.
Even if it's a second round, just take it.
Right, in the second round. I do want to kind of not to put down your statement there, the illustrious comments you made on the late in the first round business, but I don't know if you've seen some of the mock drafts, but some people have Kyra Lewis going late in the first round to a team that you seem to be describing as one of those high pick teams, the New York Knicks, a mismanaged team. A team that's looking for an identity. They check all of your boxes there, but they do have a pick late in the first round that some mock drafters have picked Kyra Lewis to go there. We'll see. It's up in the air.
I'm not even going to lie to y'all. If Kyra Lewis gets picked by the New York Knicks, I will cry. Because he just lost 5 years of his career right there. Just wait for the rookie contract to end and get out, bro. Like, the Knicks are just terrible. They're awful. I'm sorry, Stephen A. Smith. They're just disgusting of an organization right now, which is awful.
Yeah, it was they're not very good at the moment. Lots of issues going on there. But that's our talk about the NBA draft. That's what we think for these Alabama guys who are there, who are testing these NBA waters. As they go through this process here, they get feedback from scouts, they get feedback from organizations. We'll see how it goes this year. As we know with the NFL draft, it's been a lot different. They can't do pro days. They can't do the NBA might not be able to have a combine. I mean, it's really up in the air right now with everything that's going on, what these guys will be able to do. But they can now talk to these NBA scouts. They can get their feedback on where they think they stand at this moment. And as we move through the draft process and move forward really towards the NBA draft, whether it's before the playoffs are played, at whatever point that is, like I said, there's a lot up in the air right now when it comes to basketball, not only college basketball, but professional as well. So lots to be determined. We'll revisit this some at WVUA Sports, whether it's in article form, whether we're doing mock drafts, whatever we're doing, we're going to keep you up to date on these guys, what's going on with the team. But this is, as we said, our last episode of the season for the Bama Baseline podcast. We might have a couple surprises over the summer. We'll talk more about that as we move through the summer. Maybe a little update episode or at least some kind of interactive thing on social media. We'll be staying in touch with everybody for sure.
James, we're sending off Trevin.
We are.
We're sending off Trevin's last show.
Last show, guys.
Good for him. I hear he's going to work as an oil tycoon or something like that this summer.
Just figuring something out, you know, making dreams come true, getting that guap.
Yeah, I hear he's winning the lottery. He's got winning lottery numbers, something like that. He's going to make big money wherever he goes. But anybody that's listening to this program knows how good Trevin's been, how vital part of the program he's been. We send him off in a blaze of glory now. He just had maybe his most useful show of the year.
Hey, this has been my useful show of the year because Andrew Johnson Jr. isn't here.
We do appreciate. We mess with him all the time, pretty much every episode. But we do appreciate. He was my co-host year one. We started this thing off. We brought it up from the ground. We've made it up to where we're at. You know, it's not much, but it's what we've gotten. We've built everything from nothing. So thanks, Trevin, for everything you've done to help out this podcast, to help me out at the station. I really appreciate all the help that you've given me over this time and what you've given to this show, you know, giving it all to this program each and every week as we bring more content to these listeners about Alabama basketball and the people you hate.
So thank you guys so much again for listening to me. When I first heard about the show, someone came up to me saying, this is an idea of something we have. And I said instantly, you know, I don't care. Let's do it. I love it. I go to the games anyways. I do it. I love it. And he was like, I have this guy, James, with me who got all the stats and stuff. I was like, all right, as long as he can hold his own on the mic, you know, that'll be fine. You know, because I'm going to bring the energy. And honestly, this has been one of the main blessings that I've had here at the University of Alabama, just starting the show year one with James. And then we brought Luke on for a couple of special episodes, and all of a sudden we got a three-guy rotation right here of greatness on your mic every single day. It's going to be real sad that I can't, you know, participate next year. Maybe I'll make a guest appearance, just do something, make something happen. This will not be the last time you'll hear about me at Alabama basketball game. I'm definitely going to try and come back next year, see what I can do. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening to my terrible opinions, my awful facts, and all the people that I've grown to hate, love, and all of the situations that have frustrated me, made me happy. And just thank you guys so much. I really can't say anything enough to all the people who listen. I really appreciate it, guys.
It's going to be great to have a program next year where we don't have to talk about free throws for 20 minutes.
Yeah, we don't have to get an in-depth free throw report from each game. We don't have to bring up Avery Johnson Jr.
Don't think for one second y'all not going to get a text message from me saying, wow, if they shot better free throws, he would have had this one. Don't think for one second that's not going to happen.
For sure. And as Trevin signs off for his last episode, we sign off for our last episode of the season. For the Bama Baseline, signing off, I'm James Fletcher.
I'm Trevin Pierre-Noel.
And I'm Luke Ratliff. Thanks for listening to this wacky podcast. We'll catch up with you later.
Later, guys.